Welcome back. You're listening to Cross Border, our Prophecy Reality Edition. Don't really have a direction, just doing some emails. In our second hour, we're going to jump into the biblical overthrow of the Petrine theory. Yes, we want to get it from a biblical authority. I think that's the most important one, so you want to stick around for that. Let's see, I found this today because I did a segment a month or so ago, I guess. It's been a while, time flies. It is the binding of Satan now or future? As you know, the official Reformed Church position out there, and to say the Methodists or whoever is the Reformed Church, on prophecy is amillennial, and that poses several problems, especially with Revelation chapter 20, where the binding of Satan happens. How do they explain that away? And because that's something that's supposed to happen when the millennium begins, when Christ returns for his thousand-year reign, we're supposed to have the binding of Satan, because we don't want Satan loose while Jesus has set up his kingdom on earth, physical millennial reign. And they don't believe in that. They believe that the millennium is symbolic for the time that we're living in now until the second resurrection, which means they have to put the first resurrection back somewhere when people were being born again, perhaps at Pentecost or something like that, when people receive the Holy Spirit. But Paul overthrows that. We talked about that. You should look up that that post on my website, Is the Binding of Satan Now or Future? And another problem, well, there are other problems with that, but we won't get into them all. You can check out that video. We're not going to rehash everything. But I found this comment on our Reformed Historicism group. This is from Tulawani. Just found out something. The binding of Satan, as described in Revelation 20, can't be in the first century. So the Reformed amillennialists, they believe also, not only has the resurrection, first resurrection always already happened, that is, you're resurrected in Christ when you're born again, the binding of Satan, the binding of Satan, they have to place that there at the same time. But we got another good point here. He says the binding of Satan as described in Revelation 20 can't be in the first century. He says, why? Because it is synonymous with the destruction of Babylon the Great in chapter 18:23. And that's a very good point, because he says there the word they're translated deceive, because, you know, let's go there. I'm going to open up my e-sword. We're going to go to Revelation 18:23, and we're going to take a look at that. Revelation 18:23, and let me open up my plus version here, and we'll even get this on the screen. How about that? Okay, so here we have it here, 18:23, and the light of a candle shall shine no more at all in thee. And this is the destruction of mystery Babylon the Great. And the voice of the bridegroom and the bride shall be heard no more at all in thee, for thy merchants were the great men of the earth. Now, boy, I could comment on that statement there. For by thy sorceries were all the nations deceived. So if all the nations are being deceived by Mystery Babylon now, and this happens before Christ returns, obviously, they probably won't argue with that one, the destruction of Mystery Babylon. The Reformed amillennials, they actually do believe that Mystery Babylon represents the Vatican and the Catholic, you know, that nation, the Vatican over there, is a representation of that great church. Yeah, the great whore church. Okay? So many of them do believe that. It says, so we have the destruction of Mystery Babylon, and it says, for by thy sorceries were all the nations deceived. Okay, so we jump back over to chapter 20, and it says, laid hold of the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years, and put him in the bottomless pit, and shut and set a seal upon it, so that he could deceive the nations no more, till 1,000 years be fulfilled. So if Satan is deceiving the nations through Mystery Babylon, because, of course, he is the key acting agent in Mystery Babylon, and he's deceiving the nations now and before Christ returns, and that is between, say, Pentecost, when Satan was supposedly bound by the amillennials, and they were, that was the first resurrect, the first amillennial resurrection, really got a problem here. This is one more problem with amillennialism. So if I ever do that show again, we're going to throw this one in there. And the stuff, it'll just keep popping up. But you see, that's the same word, and the same phrase there is that deceive the nations, right? All right, anyway, you get the idea, but it's the same word there in the same phrase, deceiving the nations. So if it's going on now, how could Satan have been bound at Pentecost when the amillennial first resurrection happened and the binding of Satan? They tried to explain it away, but it just doesn't work. Yeah, watch that. Go back if you missed that broadcast, and it's there. You just have to put in there, is the binding of Satan now? And according to the amillennials, he is bound now because he supposedly was bound back there when their first symbolic resurrection happened, and like being born again at Pentecost or whatever. It doesn't quite add up, and we keep finding more things that don't quite work with the amillennial thought on eschatology. Problematic, yes indeed. So, and that was 1823. You want to look for that again. So compare chapter 1823 with chapter 20 verse 3 and the deceiving the nations thing, which was not supposed to be happen when Satan bound. Unfortunately, the scripture reveals that that is going on, and it has to. Mystery Babylon is in between that period somewhere. At least they have to admit that. Okay. Between Pentecost, or whenever they say the binding happened, and the return of Christ, which obviously hasn't happened yet. Okay, so is the binding of Satan now or future? There it is. Okay, what's next on our agenda here? Any questions or comments in the chat room? Anyone want to call in on the phone line? Do it now. We've got 10 or 15 minutes left here of the broadcast before we go into the next hour, before we take a break for the next hour, and then we're going to talk about the Petrine theory. And if you've been listening to Tom Fress on First Amendment Radio, he's kind of covering the same thing right now. So just going through it myself and re-editing publishing our Reformation Quincentennial Edition makes me realize that people actually do believe this. A lot of people do believe in the Petrine doctrine. Most Catholics believe it. They believe it without question. Kind of like futurists believe the rapture without question. You know, they just accept it. But I think that for Roman Catholics, yes, I was born a Catholic, and I would have accepted anything if I paid any attention to it at all, probably. And then when I became a nominal Protestant evangelical Christian at about 19 years old, because I didn't realize and make any distinction between Catholics and Protestants myself, but I knew that as many times as I sat in a Catholic church, that it held no interest for me whatsoever. And everything just went over my head. I mean, it didn't even go in one ear and out the other. Nothing. It all went by me. Praise God. Right? And I didn't get, hooked up in or beguiled or whatever, or take any of it serious at any time. So I was a Catholic in by birth only and in name only, but never in my heart or mind or anything was I anything Catholic at all, unless that's what Catholics are. And I think that's what most of them are. They're just, you know, they think that they're okay if they go to the priest and do confession. I don't even know if I did that. Did they make me do confession? They might have done that once in a while to me. I don't know. I can't remember anything about it. So, because I did actually attend Catholic schools and went to the Catholic school chapel, and it was all kind of required. Mm-hmm. So, I know what I'm talking about, but I think the Word of God has a powerful influence, even on Catholics, that they go, "Boy, that's in the Bible?" Because something, you know, especially if they're elect and they don't know it, and God wants to call them out, the Word of God is what's going to call them out. Not me, not you, but it needs to be brought their attention. So if you got any Catholic friends, you might want to forward that article to them that I posted on my website there. Let's see, that article is the Roman Catholic Petrine Theory, and post it on your Facebook, send it to your Catholic friends, whatever, and if they read the Word of God and it affects them, then fine. And if they're not elect, then it will have no effect on them whatsoever. We're just trying to, you know, we don't know who the elect are, so we're kind of, you know, throwing the seed far and wide, and that's God's plan. No one has any excuse whatsoever for ignoring the Word of God, and the elect will not ignore it at some time. That's going to germinate in their hearts and their minds, and it will spring up into life everlasting. And that's our hope and our prayer for everyone we meet, and especially our family and our friends and everyone who listens to our broadcast. That's why First Amendment Radio is here, and that's why I do what I do every day, just planting seeds, and others maybe have planted, and we can do a little watering here, whatever it takes, whatever we can do for God's kingdom. That's what we all should be doing. We're all fellow laborers in His kingdom. And it really starts at home, you know, in your own home with your own family. Get out your Bible, use some of these resources, some of these postings, and some of these books to teach your family, you know, proper biblical Christianity. Because that's what the Reformation was about. It was about reintroducing proper biblical Christianity. But men are fallible, you know. You got denominations, some of them. And now you go into churches and they got all these denominations and they got hierarchy and government in them. And it's, you know, sometimes it's good to have structure and authority and accountability. All of those things are good, you know, or they can be good, but they can all be perverted too. And they always are. It's just the nature of, it's because we're all fallen men. We all have that fallen nature that we inherited from Adam. We're all walking around with a death sentence, except for the elect. Yes, we have a death sentence that's now on our flesh, and actually it will be a liberating death when it's death to our mortal flesh, and we are changed in the resurrection to our immortal bodies that will be like Christ. When we see Him, we will be like Him. And that's another problem with the amillennial theory or belief, is they have a what they call an intermediate state. I did a show on the intermediate state. That's bunk, because when we see Christ, we will be like Him. And they say, well, when you die now, because it hasn't been the second resurrection yet, you go to this intermediate ethereal spiritual state. But I guess you don't get to be there with Christ. Christ is not going to be there. You're going to be kind of like in limbo, bodiless, waiting for the second resurrection. the first, how does that work? Missing a resurrection somewhere since they already had one. But you got to wait in this ethereal, bodiless, spiritual state and until the resurrection something or other happens. I don't know. I've had a lot of problems with that. But, not going for it, because when you have to be in this ethereal, bodiless, spiritual state, intermediate state until you see Christ, because, if to die is to gain, and when I die, I'm going to be with Christ, then where's the waiting coming in at? So if I'm going to be like him, when I see him, I will be like him, then I must see him immediately. I can't be in an ethereal, bodiless, spiritual state awaiting a resurrection body. It must happen immediately because I will be like him. And he is not bodiless, ethereal, spiritual. He is spiritual, but he has a glorified body, and he showed it to everybody, and he hasn't got rid of it yet. So when we see him, we will be like him. Yes, indeed. Okay, as Carrie Ann says, I think you're right, WW. Oh, well, if you put down the scripture, you can't go wrong. Because we put some scripture in there. Let's see, unless it's something else. But anyway, no one has ever said, oh, I get it. No one has ever said that before, WW. Yeah, I'm sure you've been right at least once in your life, WW. And I know that WW is actually Thomas. But I'm sure he's been right at least once in his life. And you're right, because you put down scripture and you can't go wrong with that. Oh, Satan sure seems to be running loose now. In agreement, absolutely. Okay, well, what else do we got? I don't know if I got anything else in my mailbox. Not a whole lot. Stick around for the second hour. As I said, we're going to jump into it. Let's see. W. Does says, I think before Adam ate the apple, he had that glorified body. And that was as we will be in the resurrection. I'm not sure that it was quite the same body that we will have in the resurrection. Not sure about that, but it's a thought. It's something to think about, something to spark the imagination there. But we'll see. But it doesn't say that when we see him, we will be like Adam. Okay? It says that we will be like him. So I don't want to go back, because we will be redeemed and glorified. Adam had no need for redemption until he ate the apple. But you know what? Hey, that's true. Okay, I got it figured out now. When we see him, we will be like Adam. You know why? Because Adam will be there and he will be like Christ. I got it figured out. Good job, WW. Okay, you're listening to Cross the Border, our Prophecy Reality Edition. And I would like you to go to my website, crosstheborder.org. Make sure you subscribe there if you haven't yet. Please do that. Also know that I'm just about done. If you're waiting for Volume 3 of the Hori Apocalyptica, Volume 3 of the Quincentennial Edition, that will be published later. If you're subscribed to my website, perhaps I'll put a notice on. So please go there and subscribe. And I want to thank all of the few people that are helping to support First Amendment Radio, Tom's broadcast, my broadcast, or supporting us broadcasters individually. Those are different things too. Some of us are individual and need a little support, and some of us, like me, I depend for my sole support on First Amendment Radio support, and also whatever anyone wants to give specifically to the Cross the Border broadcast there at my website, crosstheborder.org. Okay, and so make sure you do that, crosstheborder.org. And we, like I said, when we get back, we're going to talk about the Petrine Theory and what the scripture has to say about that. Okay, well, may the Almighty bless each and every one of you as you continue to walk in His kingdom day by day. There is absolutely nothing more important than that you cross the border into the kingdom of God and live forever. Nothing more important than that.